Good morning. Welcome to the regular First Baptist. Buenos dias. Right church, wrong time. Glad to see everyone here this morning. What's your name? Brother Dennis and I have been speaking about announcements and all, and you can say that's a little bit different than what we normally do. To not take away from the service. We're going to try to do them in the first so we get everything announced up. Because most of you talk while they're on the board, on the screen and all, you don't see what goes up there. But just for refreshers, the messenger is a perfect place to find activities of the church. There's a countdown for Christmas in there. If you're receiving it, great. If you're not, there are copies such as this one here and there. In the bulletin this week, there's a lot of announcements. Things going on. But because I don't read either one of them more times than not, Melanie has so graciously put together a list I spent 6 hours putting together yesterday. Week of prayer. Let's get away from the silliness. Week of prayer, month of prayer, Lottie Moon, so important to the world that we live in, to be able to give back what we have been so graciously given through Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Our goal this year is $5,000. You can give it during regular time. You can do it online. You can take it by the office or whatever. That'll be from December 1st today through the 31st. We'll be accepting, and if you wait a little bit later, we'll take it then too. All right. Today, let me find my notes because I know what they say. Today we're here. Thank you, Maria and her crew, for the decorating. Church is working wonderful. All right. Starting for tomorrow, the 2nd, Miss Lucille's house, WMU, 10 o'clock. Right? No, yep, 10 o'clock in the morning. Wednesday services, a.m. and evening prayer times are back on track. We're back to that. We canceled last week because of the holiday and all. Mission emphasis on the 8th. The boys will be here, Jacob and Joshua. I had to make sure, Dennis, I guess you can come if you want to. also on the 8th at 12:30, we will be having memorial service for Brother Bobby Bowen. The family has requested that to be immediately following service for those that can remain. I'm sure they would appreciate it. And then there'll be a meal provided to them afterwards. Brotherhood breakfast on the 14th. Praise team cantata on the 15th, 11 o'clock. Methodist Baptist at the Methodist Church at 6 o'clock. 39ers the 19th. At 12, cover dish luncheon, cooking with Gigi, still on, okay. 10 o'clock on the 21st, and then the 22nd, big day for us. Lord's Supper, children's performance, and then Christmas meal after the following service. One other announcement, youth camp. Miss Belinda Hudson has been working with Sister Susan's son, Kyle. Kyle grew up way in his younger years we in our church, and he is youth pastor at the Grove. No, he's not youth pastor anymore. Okay, he's got a camp he's working in. Okay, I don't get all the information. But they're putting on a camp at Camp John Hope. He's invited us to participate with the Perry group down there. There's no cost to the kids. Grade 6 through 12. See Belinda for any sign-ups, any forms you got to have, and she will give you all that information. Anything else, brother? All right, let's worship.
Today, for us, a child is born to us.
pray. Father, we do come to you to worship, Lord. We come to you with open hearts, open minds, and taking a breath. We have busy lives. We have busy times in our lives. And, you know, the seasons that we're celebrating now are busy. We just come to you right now as we do take a breath and to take time to listen to what you got for us, to listen to the words you have, the songs you have, the encouragement that we can give. We just ask you to be a light in somebody's soul through the church, through our individual lives, and be with us always. Thank you for all you do for us. Now as we go, let's worship. Amen.
You may be seated. So this next song was requested by Miss Nancy, who's not here today, sadly, so keep her and Mr. Bill in your prayers. It is hymn number 178. We were not very familiar with it, so I figured maybe you'd want to sit and hold your hymn book this time, because we're all kind of learned this one. It is a song of Advent. You know, Israel was looking for the coming king, and this song definitely represents that. Social media that if you're having trouble going to sleep at night, instead of counting sheep, and this is kind of like the counting your blessings, but you pick a word and then you take each letter of the word and you think of 10 words that go with that letter, and then it'll help you to fall asleep. It does something in your brain. So a couple of weeks I started doing it, and it works, because I very rarely make it to the end of the word and I'm asleep, which is amazing, because my mind, if you know me, I do a lot of things and my mind's constantly running of what I need to do. So last night I thought, okay, I'm going to do cross. So I started with C, and I thought crucifixion, Christ, cover. You know, the sin covers us. So you think of words that start with the C first. Then you go to R, which got a little more difficult. And then O, which was really difficult, but I did make it through. And then I thought, oh, it ends with two S's. That means I have to come up with 20 words to get to the end. But I did, because I took a really long nap yesterday. So therefore, I was really struggling getting to sleep. I think it was staying up late for that football game on Friday night. But anyway, I thought this morning, you know, I'm going to do that first word of Advent, hope. And I'm going to do that for this whole week, all week long when I go to bed. I'm going to think of words that start with H, 10 words, then O, then P, then E. And I'm going to do the same word all week, because there's so much for us to be hopeful for. And I encourage you to maybe try that. And I would like to hear what words you come up with for H, O, P, and E this week. All right, we're going to sing Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, hymn number 176. You can remain seated. Thank you. town of Bethlehem. It is the town that was prophesied ahead of time. In Isaiah, we read that earlier, to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Stand as we sing, O Little Town of Bethlehem. May be seated. This next song is a song of Mary as she's awaiting the birth of the King.
Cold and weary. Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. The Lord is good. Amen. Praise the Lord. So excited to be in the house of the Lord today. December 1st already. Days are going by fast. And we're excited to be in the house of God, to be praising His name, and looking forward to December and see what God has for us and how God is going to use us and everything, all the activities that we have. And excited that you're here today if you're visiting for the first time. I know we have a couple of guests today, and happy that you're here today. Thank you. Anybody, first time, second time, third time? There we go. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand, please, for our guests today. We thank the Lord for them. We give God the glory. Give God the glory. If you have your Bibles, we will be in the book of Isaiah, and once we find it, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, I'm going to ask you to please stand in reverence to God's holy word. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Father, we ask that you speak to us now. Father, thank you for allowing us to be here. Thank you for the life that you give, Father. Thank you that you have allowed us, Father, to be among family. And Father, thank you for allowing us to fill our emotional tank, Father. And Father, we are so grateful to you, Father, for being in your house today. May you speak to us today, Father. May today be the day of salvation, Father. Father, we pray, Father, in Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. I know most of our college kids are finishing school this semester, and probably this next week they'll be having tests, they'll be having exams, they'll be having projects that they need to turn in and things of that matter. You know, I used to, when I took so many tests, and I used to like true and false because you had a chance, you know, 50-50, you know. But I also enjoy the multiple choice. Is most of them, sometimes I got them wrong, but hey, you know, I'm here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The king of Israel, the king of Judah, rather, King Ahaz had a decision to make. He had multiple choice he had to make. And the first thing he had to do, first of all, he had the option, number A, letter A. He could join forces. He could join forces as requested by Syria and Israel, so they can defeat the mighty Assyrians. That was letter A. So what do I do? Should I circle letter A? But then he also had letter B. He could join the Assyrians, who were the enemies. They were strong. They were coming. And he said, well, if I just join the enemy, then I don't have to worry about it. But then he also had letter C. First, he could listen to the prophet. So he could listen to Isaiah. He could ask for a sign. He could trust God. He could trust God and the power of God. Of course, he did not do that. God had given him a promise. And the promise was that he was going to break the alliance and that the nation would come and pray and praise the Lord. God asked him for a vision. He asked him for a sign. In verse 11, he said, ask a sign for yourself from the Lord your God. Ask if either in the depth or in the height above. But yet he did not do that. He did not do A. He did not do, he did B eventually. And of course, he didn't do C or all or none of the above. If he would have done it, you see, if he would have joined forces, Syria and Assyria wanted to overthrow him. That was behind curtain number one. Of course, curtain number two, which he did to join the Assyrians, and of course, that did not go so well either. So, but in the middle of that, since you do not want a sign, God says, I will give you a sign myself directly to you. Therefore, he says, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call him his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel. Sometimes we choose letter A. Sometimes we choose letter B. Sometimes we reject letter C. Sometimes it's none of the above. I think from here we learn that it's always good to trust the Lord first. It's always good to trust in his power and his mighty. But in the prophecy, there was a blessing for us. It says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. So Christmas did not start in the North Pole. It did not start in the North Pole. It did not start, but rather it started in the heart of God. It was in the heart of God. It was God's sign that he was going to send his son, his only son. He was going to send him. During this time, we don't know specifically when, but around this time he sent his son. He sent his son, but it started in the heart of God. It always starts in the heart of God. God has a heart for us. God loves us. He cares for us. So it starts in the heart of God. But also Christmas exists because of Christ. There is no Christmas without Christ. It is the greatest gift that we have received as humanity. The greatest gift is to have Christ, is to receive Christ, is to love the Lord, is to serve the Lord. So, God's promise was heavily emphasized in the book of Isaiah. We read there, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. In the verse that we read in Isaiah 9:6, it says, for us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will be in his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Heavily emphasized. Talk about the suffering servant. He talk about the son, that the mighty God is going to come. The son is going to come. But Christmas was about the child. It was not about the mother. It was about the child that was going to come. It was about Jesus. He was going to come, and he was going to be a blessing. And he is a blessing to all of us. The Lord is a blessing. But it's not about the child. It's not about the mother. It's about the child. Because the child was God himself in the flesh. And we will see that in a minute. So the child is about the child. It's not about the mother. In Matthew 1:23, we see this prophecy fulfilled right here in 1:23. It says, behold, the virgin shall be with a child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. And God is with us. He is with us. So the child was going, he's going to bear a child. And then they would call his name Emmanuel, Emmanuel. And it means that God is with us. Now, what was God's promise for the entire world? What was God's promise for the entire world? What was it? Why did God send his son? Why did he send him to the world? What was the promise for the world and for you and for me? Well, first of all, God's promise was a redemptive promise. It was a redemptive promise. In the 2 Corinthians 5:19 says that is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, but has committed to us the word of reconciliation. It means that God's promise was to redeem the world. Listen, God is looking for us. He's looking for us. The Son of Man came to seek and to find that which was lost. You know, we don't look for God. God is after us. He's trying to save our souls. He's trying to love us like no one would love us. God is love. And God's promise is redemptive. God's promise is redemptive. Holman Bible Dictionary says, in terms of the word to redeem, he says, to pay the required price to secure the release of a convicted criminal. The process therein involved the person making the payment. He made a payment. He redeemed us. He's here to reconcile us, to come back to God. The purpose of Christ, the purpose of Christ in the world was to make a deliberate sacrifice of himself for human sin. It describes God's saving activity towards mankind in the New Testament. It centers redemption in Christ, that Christ gave his life. Christ gave his life. It was the promise to the whole world. God is looking for you. He's looking for you. He knows where we live. He knows our address. He knows our blood type. He knows our DNA. He knows everything. Listen, God gave your mother and your father the name that you have today because God knows you and cares for you so much. God loves us. So he redeemed. He came. The promise was that he was going to redeem us to himself. God loves us. God loves us. We have that DNA of loving and to be loved. Listen, we were made unto the image of God, and God loves us. He wants to redeem you today. If you're not having been redeemed, God is looking for you. He wants to give you a new life. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. He is a new creation. And we have a new life when God comes to live in us. He wants to redeem us. He wants us to walk with him. He wants us to speak to him. He wants us to call upon him. He wants us to cry before him. This is, sometimes Christmas can be sad, but listen, God says, I am with you. God with us. He's here. He's with you. He'll walk with us. He wants to be part of our life. He wants us to open the door, and he'll come in. And he worked with you. You're not alone anymore. We're not alone anymore. God is with us. Even in the toughest moments of life, God is right there. He's right there. Whether it be midnight, 3 o'clock in the morning, the Lord is right there. He's right there. And you can call on him, and he will answer you. He will speak with you. He's looking for you. He wants to redeem you from your sin. He loves you. He loves you. But not only did he, his promise was of redemption, but also God's promise was that he would become flesh. He will become flesh. John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Oh, what a precious promise. Can you imagine that? A holy God. Concerned about us, the God of creation, concerned about you and I. I mean, how special are we to God? Oh, listen, God, you are special. God loves you. He cares for you. He became, the Word became flesh. Listen, and then in 1:14, he says, and the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory. The glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The little baby, God became flesh. And when he grew up, he did things that nobody had seen before. Heal the blind, walk on water, brought people from the dead, raised Lazarus from the dead. Someone said, I'm glad he called him Lazarus, otherwise the whole cemetery would have come out. Wow. 100% 100% man. And he came. What a promise to redeem you, to love you. He's got his arms extended for you. It doesn't matter what language you speak. It doesn't matter your social status. It doesn't matter if you're poor, you're middle class, you're, it doesn't matter. Even the Word of God itself, the New Testament was written in Koine Greek, the common Greek, the one who somebody in the marketplace could understand and the most high philosophical person can understand it. It's for everybody. It's for everybody. Can you imagine the most powerful being, God himself, interested in you and me? But there's a problem. He He came to redeem us because there is sin, and sin separates us. And this is why Jesus went to the cross and died on the cross for you, for your sins and my sins and for the sins of the whole world. And God loves you. The Lord loves you. He'll love you like no one would love you. No one will love you like God loves you. He loves you. He accepts you. And you know, he knows everything about us. Everything. We cannot hide anything from God. He already knows it. Surveillance cameras, he's got them in heaven 24/7. You can't hide a nickel, and God doesn't know it. He knows everything. Yet he's interested in you as a person. Doesn't matter if you went to school, no school. Doesn't matter if you speak English or no English. Or Espanol, no Espanol. Le Francais, como talibu. Doesn't matter. Said, I'm interested in you as a person, in who you are. But God's promise, his promise is love. Jesus did not come down from the cross because he loves us. Can you imagine that? I mean, what great love. He went through everything that he went through. Yet he was compared to the worst of the worst of our society in that Roman world. He hung on that cross because he loves you. Listen, if there's nothing maybe you don't understand in this world, there's one thing you need to take it to the bank. God loves you. If nobody loves you, maybe you're introverted or extroverted. Maybe you're just a little quiet. Or maybe you drink three of them coffee all day. I don't know. You always go. One thing you got to know is that God loves you. And he accepts you just like you are. Doesn't matter. Mental illness, he loves you. Anything, he loves you. This is why he didn't. Don't you think that he could have come down from the cross? You remember when he died, the cemetery came open and people came from the dead walking in the town? Yet, he did not come from the cross because he loves you. God loves you. Look in the mirror and say, God loves me. He loves me. That was the promise of the child. It was the promise. God loves you. He loves you. But God demonstrated his love. In John 15, 13, he says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. He laid his life on the line for you and for me and for the whole world. Wow. For everyone in Fort Valley, everyone in Peach County, everyone in the state of Georgia, everyone in this country, in this world, he laid his life down there, his promise. But God's promise was his presence. There it is. Matthew 1:23. Emmanuel, God is God with us. God with us. He's with us. He's with us. God is with me. God is with you. God is with us. He's right here. Amen? He goes to you with you when you go to work. He goes with you at work, at home. He's with us. The Lord is right here. You know, it may be good for us to ask, what do you think, Lord? If Ahaz would have done that, God would have revealed to him that those folks were trying to get rid of him. Those who wanted to make allies with him were actually trying to get rid of him. Isn't that amazing? How could that could never happen? Of course it can happen. But you see, God knows everything. He is sovereign. He knows everything. But God is with us. God is with us. Now, what does the promise mean for us? See, that was a prophecy that was fulfilled in Matthew 1:23. The prophecy was that the Son was going to be born of a virgin. And now we're on the other side. The promise has been fulfilled. Jesus already came. He grew up. The baby grew up. He died and raised from the dead. Now, he said, I'm going to leave, and I'm going to leave the Comforter. I'm going to leave the Holy Spirit. Listen, you know, if you do not get a gift this Christmas, we already have the greatest gift, Jesus. For the whole world, we have the greatest gift. So now we're on the other side of the promise. We're on the other side of the prophecy. So what is it? What do we have now? What does the promise mean for us? First of all, we need to know him now. We can know God. Can you imagine that we can know God? And when we go to problems and tribulations, we don't go by ourselves anymore, because God is in us. He's in us. Oh, what a joy it is to know that God lives in us. Amen? So we need to know him, and now we need to follow him. Jesus asked the question in Luke. He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do what I tell you to do? You see, Christianity is about following Christ. That's really all it is. Sometimes we complicate it. But really, what we're doing is following Christ. Jesus told the disciples, those he called at the Sea of Galilee, follow me. He told Levi, Matthew, he said, he was a tax collector, he said, follow me. One day, he came to my life and said, Dennis, follow me. And he came to your life, and he's the same thing. All we're doing is following the Lord. That's all we're doing. That's all we're doing. So we need to know God, we need to follow God, and listen, we need to praise God. And if you do not have a reason to praise God, just breathe. There's a Psalm 150. Everything that has breath, praise the Lord. If you breathe today, praise the Lord. When you get up in the morning, praise the Lord. When you're in bed, praise the Lord. When you have a meal before you, praise the Lord. We just ate turkey, praise the Lord. We need to praise the Lord. We need to praise him. But not only we need to know him, follow him, praise him, but we got to serve him. Listen, we need to serve the Lord. Do you know that God, when he sent Moses to get Israel out of Egypt, if you follow the book of Exodus, you can count multiple times, the reason why God took Israel out of Egypt. And it was to serve the Lord. Listen, there is always something to do in the kingdom of God. There's always something to do. Listen, God wants us to serve Him. When Peter's mother-in-law was healed, you know what she did immediately when she got up? It says that she had a lot of fever. I don't know if she had a 99% or 1.2. I don't know. But she said immediately she got up and served them. We need to serve the Lord. That's what we're here to do. We're here to serve the Lord. But also, we are here to go and tell. We got to go and tell that God sent His Son to die on the cross for all of our sins. That He wants to forgive us. He wants to forgive us. You know, we have this wristbands, opportunities. May we pray for opportunities as we do some shopping, whether you go to the mall, where you go to Walmart, wherever you may go, opportunities. I had opportunity yesterday. Problem with the cars. Seems like we always got problems with cars. So I was right there, and I talked to the lady, and I said, I want to invite you to church if you don't have a church. She said, oh, I live so far away from here. I said, no, no. I said, I serve in Fort Valley. And then her face changed. She said, well, I live in Taylor County. Well, that's not too far, is it? We need to go tell. We're the ones who know the Lord. We are His people. And this is a great opportunity God has given us to tell other people that God, that little baby that was born was God in the flesh coming to redeem this world to Himself. I have some of those wristbands right here if you'd like to take some. I learned this. I don't know if you like fishing, but I love fishing. I don't do enough, but I want to do more. The only way you fish is if you cast in the water. In Honduras, maybe the only place in the world, they say it rains fish from time to time. Strong winds take the fish from the lake and they actually fall out in the street. That's the only place. I know it's not happening in Fort Valley. But listen, we are all fishers of men. And we need to share the gospel with people. We need to tell them about God's love. God loves them. Maybe this Christmas, someone will receive the greatest gift of all, knowing God. There's nothing. Father, we thank You so much for allowing us to be in Your house today. Thank You for this season of the year. Father, we are reminded that a child is born in Bethlehem. That He came, died on a cross for our sins. Maybe there's someone here today that you would like to receive the greatest gift ever given to mankind, Jesus Christ. Today is the day of salvation. Maybe you've been considering. Maybe God has been speaking to you. And this is the day that you like to open your heart and let the Holy Spirit come and dwell in you. Or maybe you're here today and you haven't been following. You know that. God knows that. But today you want to make a commitment to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm back. Here I am. I want to walk with you again. I want to reconcile my life to you. Or maybe you are looking for a church. You're looking for a home church. And we'd love to have you. We'd love to have you so we can serve together and reach our community for Christ. As the music invites us, please consider this.
Let's stand and sing hymn number 214, Isn't He? Let's sing about Jesus, Emmanuel.
James, will you dismiss us in prayer, please?